You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Our guest is Donald C. Brockett, the author of The Tyrannical Rule of the U.S. Supreme Court, How the Court Has Violated the Constitution. His website is criticalbookspublications.com, and our very astute producer has said no one has a problem with armed guards protecting banks or celebrities. They don't have to be subjected to being in gun-free zones. And of course, they always protect the president. I remember seeing a picture of Obama, who was very anti-gun, walking along with six people on either side of him, all protecting him. And I think it's our children, the future of our country, that need the protection. And when most people understand that schools are gun-free zones, they're just targeting the future of our country and innocent children. It's devastating, horrible.
Well, and what's interesting about your astute rector.
Producer, yes.
And he's brought up a point that I think is really important, and that is apparently in this country, our money is more important than our kids.
Yes.
That's a shocking thing to understand, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
More important to protect our money so that you can't come in and steal it than it is to protect our kids. When they're trying to get an education about all things, including the Constitution and the country and how it should be governed.
Right.
So I think we have our priorities a little mixed up.
We do. We certainly do.
And as you point out, when you said, how are we going to back out of this? Well, you back out of it by changing your priorities. Which, by the way, I have to tell you, Deanna, and since the time last time that I talked to you, which was 2016, about the book, I've been really disappointed by its reception. I haven't found an audience with any of the organizations I thought would be interested in some of these thoughts, like the Constitution Society,
really?
The NRA, any of the talk shows, for example, that are constantly talking to us about different things. You think they would be interested in whether or not, for example, you can have the federal court enforce a countrywide injunction against the president taking action on the border? He's the commander-in-chief of the military, so if he decides we need to go to war immediately, even though Congress is supposed to be declaring wars, would a federal judge located in Spokane, Washington, at the lowest level of the federal system, be able to stop him from having the country invaded?
Right.
Most people don't know that there's a specific provision in the Constitution that says that a state is not allowed to go to war, except, and it says, if it's totally necessary, basically. And of course that would be true, because who might a state have to go to war with? Well, if you study your history, folks, you'll understand it could be the federal government, which has decided to take it over. And if you studied your history, you would understand that's what basically the Second Amendment is for.
Right.
Is so that you cannot be taken over by your own government. You can't have happened to you without a fight, at least, what happened to the Jewish people under Nazism. All of those things were historically thought about, even though the Nazi situation itself hadn't come about yet. There had been previous situations in history that our founders wanted to guard against. And I think it's interesting when people argue about the Second Amendment and they say, well, it's hinged upon a militia. And it's only the militia that gets to possess the weapons. Well, study your history again, folks, because at the time of our revolution, everybody was a member of the militia.
Right.
You know, they designated them by the unit from Connecticut or the unit from Illinois. How do you think those designations came about?
Right. Every able-bodied man, as you say, who could be called into service in the event the country needed him, was part of the army to protect the country. And that was just the way
it
was.
And think about it.
And protect themselves against the government.
Right. And think about it. Now, with the equality, you'd have every able-bodied man and woman would be able to grab a weapon and defend the state.
Right.
You know, that's the other thing about the Second Amendment. I think people may not have studied what I did for the purpose of the book, and it's pointed out, as you know, and that is that the first draft of the Second Amendment talked about in order to defend the nation, and that was changed as unacceptable to in order to defend the state. Because at that time, the states were more important to them than the nation. It didn't exist until after the Constitution was ratified.
Right.
So, study your history, please. Understand what all of that means.
And, of course, a lot of this changed.
The way it was.
A lot of this changed after the so-called Civil War, when things were centralized in Washington. And since the so-called Civil War, many, many changes have occurred that have infringed upon the rights of the people, because under their states' rights, there was a lot more freedom to govern themselves. That was just the way it was. And then things became federalized and centralized. You brought up an interesting thing previously. It just made me think of something else. That there are states and cities that, with regard to the immigrants and illegal immigrants, that they will be protected in certain sanctuary. The idea that Chicago. The mayor of Chicago has said that the government, ICE, cannot come in and take illegal people out of the country, that they do not have to enforce a federal law, which I think is very questionable when there is a federal law. And I do kind of wonder, too, about a lot of things that the states are doing or that people are doing that go against federal law, but I'm also concerned about the wall, whether it's to keep us in or keep people out, because it seems like there's an awful lot of people that are already here. So do we have our guests back or no? We will. Okay, we will take your phone calls at 800-313-9443. And our very astute producer is trying to get our guest back. I'm not sure what happened. He was using a cell phone and might be that. Okay, so we have our guest back. Okay, Don, was it something I said?
It was probably something. I said. I don't.
All of a sudden, you weren't
there. These newfangled devices. I don't know.
Yeah, I was talking about while you were gone. About there are certain sanctuary cities, like the mayor of Chicago recently protected the. She said she would not allow ICE to come in and interact with people who were here illegally, and I don't think that she has a right to do that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a really interesting time that we are even talking about sanctuary cities or any kind of sanctuary situation.
Yeah,
it's but just, there's a very simple solution to it. If the local officials are taking the position that they're not required to tell ICE that they're holding somebody, then Congress quit doing what it's not doing, which is nothing, and pass a law that says that they are required to, and then it would be an offense, a federal offense, and they would be subject to being prosecuted for it. I don't see how you can... I mean, the question is, what's next? If they can protect illegal immigrants because they want to give them sanctuary, can they start to protect... child molesters, for example?
Right. Where is it going to go next? Well, they have done that because some of the people that have come into our countries were just people that were let out of jail and encouraged to leave their country. They come in, they commit murder, they commit rape, and then they flee the country and they get away with it. Our astute producer just made a remarkable comment that I have to share with you. You think advocates of gun-free zones would be willing to put signs in front of their homes declaring the same? And then he said hypocrites. But seriously, our producer is very astute.
Well, here's what's interesting about that, I hate to use the labels, but I will in this particular case. I remember not too long ago when the people who were liberal would always criticize people who were conservative by saying, well, you be careful, you go down that's a slippery slope. Well, for heaven's sakes, do they not think this is a slippery slope?
Right.
And that it could lead to unintended consequences, some of which you're talking about? Of course it could.
Right. Sure.
That's why you have to be consistent. And people who are here illegally, who commit crimes and are booked into jail, should be picked up by ICE. It should be notifying the federal authorities, and they should not be coming into the country, and they should be taken out immediately.
Right.
This whole thing, as you pointed out, is the subject of a whole chapter that I have on the book on immigration.
Right.
Where the U.S. Supreme Court went wrong by saying that the term subject to the jurisdiction thereof meant being subject to any of the laws of the country. For example, the criminal laws. Well, of course, people who come into this country are subject to those laws. What the founders meant, and I think this is clear when you go back and study that portion of the Constitution, what they meant by subject to the jurisdiction thereof was what happens when people become new citizens. They have to renounce their citizenship in their originating country. You know, people who come here to visit, they're still subject to the jurisdiction of the laws of their country. That's why some of the people in our country who are young people in college are subject to the draft of their originating country and have to go back and serve their time.
Right.
Well, they're not subject to the jurisdiction of this country in the same way that an American citizen is. So why would the Supreme Court decide it that way? And, of course, the worst-case scenario was down in Texas in the case where they found that kids even needed to be provided a free education regardless of how it affected the Texas school system. Well, that's preposterous. Why would the voters of Texas have to maintain the increased cost just because the U.S. Supreme Court thinks it's a shame not for every child to have an education? They can have an education if they go back to their own country.
Right.
And the Constitution wasn't subject to change that way.
It was passed by the state legislature in Texas. And in California, they're also promoting this, and they have to hire teachers who are fluent in the foreign language, and they have to provide school lunches and all the rest. And this is draining the money, draining the budget. So
The worst situations I've heard about are the ones in California where apparently the Mexican students have decided to take down the American flag and fly the Mexican flag.
Yes, what? That is just amazing.
You mentioned something earlier, and I'll throw this out, and I'm sure this will shock your visitors, but as a result of what's happened with the tyrannical rule of the United States Supreme Court, I think we need a name change. We are no longer the United States of America. We are now the federalized states of America.
Right. How true.
And that's the whole thing that's happened to us.
Right. We do have a caller.
When I get back...
Okay. Go ahead. I like your idea of changing the name, yes. We do have a caller. Should we go ahead and take a call? I don't want to interrupt your train of thought.
Somebody's interested.
Okay, Richard in Alabama.
A long time it has irritated me that the Bar Association should have the authority to arrest people quasi in rem and bring them to a place where they're supposed to have a hearing for probable cause, and instead arraign them into a jurisdiction where they have no duty to prove probable cause. I've got a long list of things that the bar is doing that are just totally illegal, totally against the law. Like refusing to codify the laws that's passed. I guess you've heard about the United Nations Refugee Resettlement Program, wherein the United Nations is bringing in 2 747s every day loaded with people from Central Africa, and they get instant unconditional citizenship the minute they step off the airplane. Not a pathway to citizenship. No, not an application for citizenship, but they get instant USA first-class citizenship, unconditional. And I've asked the welfare department here. These people are eligible to become foster fathers in Alabama's interracial foster family program. They can and do, and I see examples where they adopt white girls. Well, they don't adopt. They receive custody of foster daughters. And they still have dual citizenship in the Congo or Somalia or wherever they came from. They still have dual citizenship. so they can fly back and forth at their convenience as foster parents carrying their white girl.
Okay. Richard, hold on to your question. We'll be right back. We'll pick it up after
A listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take.
All right, we are back with our guest, Donald C. Brockett. He is the author of The Tyrannical Rule of the U.S. Supreme Court, How the Court Has Violated the Constitution. And we were, we were talking to Richard in Alabama. Would you like to comment thus far on what Richard has said, Don?
Sure. I think it's really interesting what he's talked about, and I would say that that's preposterous. And I'm wondering how the United Nations has the jurisdiction to do what he's suggesting they do, and why our government has done nothing about it.
Yeah,
I find troubling in some of these areas, especially the sanctuary business. As you know, that all started with churches providing sanctuary to people who were going to be subject to the laws. And I think what it shows, which unfortunately is a difficult subject to talk about, because believers are true believers, and most of the time they do a lot of good, and there should be more support for churches and by churches. For example, if the churches were doing their job, we wouldn't need welfare in federal or state government because they would take care of it. But they also get a little out on a limb when they decide to provide sanctuary situations that are clearly illegal. And I don't understand how they justify that, but of course there are a lot of other changes that have occurred within churches in the acceptance of certain things in society, which I won't mention, that show how much churches have changed.
Right.
So that's about all I want to say about that area.
Right.
There is freedom of religion. We're guaranteed that. So that's the country we live in.
Right. Richard, did you have another question or comment? Because we do have another caller.
It seems that our courts are vice admiralty, and we're governed pretty much the same way as the Gaza Strip. Remember, Gaza is a United Nations refugee camp, used to be part of Egypt, and Israel has no right to govern them, but they just drive them. Come across and bomb anyway, and the United Nations doesn't do anything to protect the people of Gaza. And it's pretty much like us. We seem to be governed by people that we mistakenly elect, but no, we're governed by vice admiralty, debt collector venues everywhere. Everything is about charges and money, and everything is quasi in rem, meaning they're towing it away.
Right. Okay, Richard, thank you so much for calling into the program. Really appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's quickly take Dr. Kelly. We're just about to go to another break, but we can say hi to Dr. Kelly. In California.
So good to be on air with you, and thank you so much for all of your work and your stellar guests. And I wish there were a way to get shows on a CD or DVD to be able to listen to some of those that I've missed. And don't, you know, for those that don't have computer access or need a thumb drive to play the, you know, to play it on. And just thank you again for your incredible lineup and running the show. And you know, this topic especially, it's a difficult one because it seems that a lot of the names have been changed at our, you know, trusted institutions, and not necessarily to protect or serve the innocent, you know, but as Judge Janine says, it's the criminal justice system when it should be the harmed, injured, or victim justice system. And any comments you have are all good, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Well, Doctor, the doctor is exactly right, and I'm finding the difficulty in trying to write a second book, but the tentative title of that book, as you noticed from going to my website and talking about the future, is The Court's Crimes, How the Court Has Made Us Less Safe. And what I talk about in that book will be the distortion of several of the amendments so that they do protect the criminal more than society.
Right. What and that is, what a shame that is. My gosh. If you commit a crime, then certainly you should pay for your crime. And it seems that that the victims don't have anywhere to turn. All righty, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
All right, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Donald C. Brockett. And I invite you to visit the website. It's criticalbookspublications.com. I just posted it in the chat room. And you were talking about a tentative title for your new book, The Court's Crimes, How the Court Has Made You Less Safe. You also have U.S. Constitution fact sheet. You have the table of contents. So people can get an idea of exactly what they will get if they purchase your book, which I hope that they do, and I hope that you do write that second book, because people do feel less safe. I watch the news. It's just I watch the news. Children are no longer safe. Children are always being shot in Chicago. 2-year-old children, 2-month-old children, just people are being shot, women are being raped, and it's just amazing that even in good neighborhoods, things are happening, and you just no longer are safe. And the other thing, too, that I was thinking about this week as a result of listening to a radio program is that Black Lives Matter should be the biggest picketer at Planned Parenthood, because there are most of the abortion clinics. I know I'm backtracking here, going back to abortion, but most of the abortion clinics are situated in Black neighborhoods. There are more Black abortions than there are white than there are live births, and so, but we don't hear anything about the Black Lives Matter, that group of people picketing in front of Planned Parenthood. But what is, that's kind of ironic, hypocritical. Anyway, I hope that people will buy your book, and I hope that you will write this second book.
Well, I'm in the process of doing it, and like I said, it's just more difficult, I found, to write a second book than it was to write the first. There's so many diversions, and I guess to be honest about it, it also has had an effect because of the lack of acceptance of the first book. I mean, I thought, you know, it would be on the tables at Costco and, you know, other
right.
places, but they, you know, they have all these rules that, well, until you've sold a certain number of them, they're not interested in even looking at it. I'm an individual publisher myself, and so they say, well, you go to a publisher who's established, and then maybe we'll take a look at it. It's like...
That's okay, not fair.
So, yeah, it's like everything else, I guess. It's, you know, they've decided to push everything through a certain procedure, and if you're on the outside looking in, it's hard to be accepted.
Right.
I thought it would be explosive enough, and you, thank goodness, feel it is for interviewing me for the second time. People would say, wow, you know, I'd kind of like to hear what that thinking is by somebody who actually practiced for 52 years and is now, in effect, attacking his own profession. And I'm not attacking my own profession. I argued a case in the United States Supreme Court, and it was a thrill because most lawyers never get a chance to do that. But my pledge becoming a lawyer was that I would learn to follow the law and to help others follow the law. And that necessitated learning what the foundations for the law were. And they are the Constitution in this country, believe it or not. And they shouldn't be subject to being changed until the people want to change them under Amendment 5. I often use this example, and maybe this will make more sense to people. The Constitution is a contract. It was formed between the states in existence at the time and the federal government they were creating by their representatives who were sent to formulate this Constitution. Now, constitutional law teaches us, we learned this well in law school, that a contract cannot be changed except by the parties to the contract, by amendment. Okay, the U.S. Supreme Court was not a party to the contract. It did not exist until it was ratified and adopted by the states. So how in heaven's name do they have the authority to go into that contract and say, well, this is what we think that word really means? They, by the way, and most people don't know this, in Marbury versus Madison, a very famous case in 1803, remember this was drafted in 1789 or 1787, in 1803, they decided they had the right to interpret the Constitution. Their own predecessors on the Supreme Court before that date did not believe that to be true. So we have a situation in which the court gave itself the authority, which it now uses to impose its decisions upon all of us.
Wow.
And that simply is not right. So somebody needs to say that. And secondly, and this is astounding to many hearers, I'm sure, they do not have the authority to carry out their decisions. And that's part of the checks and balances. We are entitled to say, sorry, that was great advice that you gave us, but we don't agree with it. I mean, think of an outlandish situation in which they would decide that, let's say, a certain part of the country should be ceded to Mexico. Would we just say, oh, okay, well, let's give up those states to Mexico because the U.S. Supreme Court said so? Well, I hope we'd say, heck no. We're not going to do that. They have no authority to give away part of our United States, so we're not going to follow it. And we would ask the President of the United States not to have the United States Marshal's Office enforce it. And it would simply go away. That's supposed to be the check and balance for the people to rule. That's us, folks. Get involved.
Right. Right.
I've heard how many times have you heard this, Deanna, where people say, well, I'm just one vote. How can I make a difference? Well, many elections have been decided by one vote. So don't think you're useless. You're not.
Right.
You're part of this country, now show it.
Right.
Well, I sure am glad you gave me a soapbox to talk on for all this time. Do you have any more callers?
let me look here, see if we have any more callers. No, we don't. Okay. You have covered, you have a chapter, chapter 11, the same-sex marriage case. Which, gosh, this has become such a big issue in our area, where they have parades, and also in New York, I understand. I'm just appalled by this promotion. It's just kind of an amazing thing. But anyway, we do have another caller, Mike. Mike in Kentucky. Mike?
Hi. I've stumbled across interesting, what I would call anomalies over the years, and I probably am forgetting a few of them, but I've seen situations, and I wonder what determines it, and if you can determine how a venue is arraigned, if it's actually arraigned as a court in the judicial branch, or if it functions as more like an administrative forum under executive branch. We've got quite a bit of, I think, corruption going on where you can have people in office actually in a convoluted capacity where they may be an administrative law judge. They're supposed to be in a judicial branch, but yet they're an executive. And maybe they're, I forget, here in Kentucky, I think there's one in particular that can be key. It can be actually in the legislative branch, executive branch, and the judicial branch supposedly at the same time. But I have to wonder about the Supreme Court. You know, its opinions are basically supposed to be advisory to tell the Congress, hey, this law needs to be rewritten. And like you say, they don't have the capacity to enforce their opinions. So how much of that's going on that we're just overlooking?
Well,
did I lose?
I'm not sure if your question has to do with the administrative law and its administrative judges, or
are there any courts
you're wondering about?
Are there actually any courts? Are they all, like, somehow an administrative venue underneath the 30-some national emergencies we're under? One of the cases in particular that was reported, and I think it's supposedly been debunked, but I don't know. Anything, you can find somebody to debunk anything on the Internet. But in the Waco trials, the jury's verdict was ignored by the judge, and he set it aside and took the jury as an advisory panel, just like in a military tribunal. And that's one of the things that Ed Snowden has brought up, is that he might be interested in coming back to the United States if he get an actual trial by jury. Can't happen, can it?
Well, I think what's most interesting about what you just said is that a judge was in a position to be able to disregard what the jury came back with.
And, supposedly a criminal, yeah, you know, arraigned court, not a right. civil equity versus administrative.
What a lot of people don't understand about the court system is that it's totally taken control on the basis that it is in charge of its own system. So, for example, in my state, in the state of Washington, in a number of cases, the state Supreme Court has said that the legislature has no ability to tell them by statute what it is they will do in procedural matters. For example, the rules of evidence. You know, we have this ridiculous rule in criminal law that we won't allow the admission of evidence if it, quote, casts more heat than light, end quote, which I've never been able to figure out other than the fact that it's because the judge thinks it might convict the defendant and he or she doesn't want the defendant convicted. That's a preposterous procedural rule. The courts were created by the public, by the citizens, to provide justice. And if they don't provide what the public believes is justice, the legislature should change them. And they have absolute control over the legislature has absolute control over the court because it can simply cut off its funds. That, by the way, is one of the procedures I suggest. And it isn't original with me. It was original with Alexander Hamilton, who wrote in the Federalist Papers that the courts would not, do something different from what the Constitution provided, because if they did, Congress would simply cut off their funding. Or, by the way, impeach them, which a lot of people laugh at, but that's a procedure. And it can
I think judges do get impeached, and the news media doesn't cover it. So, but part of what I was getting at is the rules of the court are dictated to the juries by the judges generally, and the various whatever you want to call them, barristers, lawyers, they are barred from mentioning anything in a lot of jurisdictions. To do with jury nullification, so that the jury very likely doesn't know that they are charged with both judging the law and the fact. And, I brought that up a few times, and I guess it's just at the judge's discretion. But in Kentucky rules of criminal procedure, it used to be in there that you could not even mention jury nullification within the before the bar. It was just understood that they were supposed to find out about it through the media. Well, the media doesn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. But jury nullification is a dangerous principle also. Jury nullification, for those who don't know, basically says the jury can nullify the law even though it was passed by the citizens through their elected representatives. And that's extreme. In other words, what you have had passed by the legislative branch because of the input by the citizens is undone by a jury of 12 people when they nullify that law because they feel they have a right to do that.
Well, that's a check on corruption.
To this particular person.
It's a check on the corruption that can occur.
Yeah, it can be. It can also be if you have a particularly formed jury, a result of outlandish circumstances. let's say that the people on the jury feel that they don't like the law that was passed against the molestation of a child in your state, and so they decide to nullify that law and turn the defendant free. Are you still for jury nullification?
I think it depends on the circumstances. And it certainly depends on the circumstances.
Yeah.
That's why jury nullification occurs, but you're giving a kind of unjustifiable example. What I'm talking about is when, during Prohibition, when the cops were on the take, the judges were on the take, the elected politicians were on the take, you didn't want to throw somebody in jail for a month and cause them to lose their job for mere possession of alcohol when everybody in the society was partaking of alcohol. It was absurd. It's the same thing with marijuana.
Well, see, my reaction would be that you mean you didn't want to go about it the right way, which was to throw out people.
You can't.
Take.
We are going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
All righty, we are back. And we had Mike on the phone, and I think one of my favorite chapters in your book is How Could the Court Be Changed? But anyway, Mike, what were you saying?
I think so many of the checks and balances that were meant to protect our individual liberties have been corrupted in the last, especially 70 years. In the post-World War II era, where things have actively been created from a right to a privilege granted by government. It just completely perverts any sense of a republic.
Okay, Don, could you address that?
Sure, I agree totally with that.
Yes.
And I think it's our fault, because what we've decided is to abandon the idea that we have responsibilities ourselves and that everything shouldn't be done for us by somebody else, whether it's a church or government or even our neighbor. That came out of, as I think you mentioned specifically, the World War II situation. It I trace it back to what happened during the Depression, because I remember hearing so many people say, my kids will never have to want like we did during the Depression. Well, the problem with that is that when you're given everything, you don't ever learn responsibility. And that was how society got turned on its ears, basically, and how it's proceeded to now.
Well, things get vanished from society's eyes. Like I went back in the early 90s, this pre-internet, and into a law library to look up something I'd heard about, and it was right there on the shelf, a couple of things, actually. I went back to show somebody, and a law professor had checked it out perpetually to make it disappear, and that was the old copyrighted Westlaw Title IV United States Code for Flag Seal of Government. Had a footnote in there about the commander-in-chief's discretion for stars and the fringe. And I guess in the larger volumes that came out in the 80s, they decided they'd better just take that out of there because they had, a Supreme Court case that ruled that argument was frivolous. And but the concept is there that the legislature can be circumvented by the executive. And just with that symbology, like, okay, you can remove or add stars or the fringe on the flag at your discretion as a military leader. I don't know how the case went forward that made that a frivolous argument, but it was in the footnote there. I think it was 1925 opinion of the Attorney General. So it goes back pre-Depression, like a stage setting for the emergency that occurred in 1933, which in effect is still in effect in a lot of ways. We don't have an economic system that is, I think, was intended by the founders. And so that corrupts a lot of things right there.
Right.
Anyway, I'll let you guys think.
All righty. Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Don, so much for being on the program today. It was a joy to have you on and an honor. And I hope people purchase your book and read it. Read it. And
thanks for having me on.
And get it for Christmas for your relatives. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, too.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's talk with you next week.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.